Thank you, girls. We are in our discipleship series. We're getting close to the end. We are in chapter number 8. I believe we have the next chapter and then just a final little thing. So we're getting there. And so we're in chapter number 8. A couple things before we start. I am excited about the singles retreat. And thank you for a response. I'd love to have all of our singles there unless you are working, okay? And you'll have a great time. You'll be encouraged. It's geared towards you. And so I am really excited about that. And then, of course, the song books, I just want to reiterate, they're not the ones in the auditorium. Okay, Brother Jim's trying to make you pay for them. And I don't know what he had going on the side. I don't know if he's, like, going to pay for his vacation next year. But we're not selling them to you. They're the old ones we had, so they're a little bit beat up. But you might want to have one around your house or a couple around your house. You can look at the songs or so forth. So please take those. I just don't want to throw them away. We've tried to give them some churches we may know that need them, but nobody needs them. So just take one or so. Songbooks are always an encouragement. And, of course, thinking of retreats, couples, let's make sure that we plan on being there. Let's have a good, good group. We're bringing Brother Cavanis from, I think it's Rosebud, Oregon, something like that. Good man. Met him several years ago. Solid. Good kids. I think 3 or 4 of his kids are missionaries. And so we had one of them here in our church before. And we're excited to that. We're going to talk tonight, chapter number 8, about witness, being a witness. Chapter is speaking up. Of course, we call that soul winning. Sharing our faith with those who do not know Jesus Christ. Have you ever had somebody recommend a great restaurant to you or a great coffee place that you did not know about? By the way, people do that all the time. Oh, I found this great place to eat. By the way, how many have ever been recommended a place and you go there and it's like, I don't know what reality you live in, but that was not a good place to eat. Anybody ever been like that? But there are some places people recommend. It's like, man, I wish I would have known that. You know, I wish I would have known that. Brother Chim in Faithfulness Rally about 9 months ago said, oh, someone talked to me about Bedia Tacos, and wow, I never heard of them. I'm thinking, my wife's a Mexican. Why didn't she say anything? And I wouldn't had them. It's like French dip for tacos. And man, there's a truck. We'll get to the Bible in a minute, but this is important. There's a truck over on Atlantic on Sundays. And then Litzy told me about, is that somebody's red tacos? Teddy's. Oh, we're going to pray and dismiss. I think we can get there before it closes. But why? Because when you get something good, you naturally want to share that with somebody. Like, have you checked this place out? We like to share good things. That's just how we are. We like to share good things with others. As a Christian, the greatest thing we can share with another person is how they too may receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We share a lot of things with people. You know, hey, here's a cheat code. I don't eat there as often because it's probably as poison, but I know I don't like McDonald's, but I kind of like Wiener Schnitzel. I don't eat there a lot. I know, because it's poison. I get it. But if I'm going to eat poison, I'm going to eat chili dog poison and not horse meat on a bun, okay? And so Brother Richardo's trying to kill me. It was just hot dog day or something today, right? I didn't go. He'll email me coupons to Wiener Schnitzel. You say, what does the staff do all day long? Apparently, we scour the internet for Wiener Schnitzel coupons. And it's like, so I should have went. My bad. But, you know, there's one thing we can share with somebody that will always turn out good. That's Jesus Christ. By the way, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe the reason we don't share Jesus Christ is because he really hasn't made much of an impact in our life. But I'll tell you what. When you really understand what salvation is, and when you really get it and understand how good Jesus is, how in the world could we not want to tell others about him? Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If salvation is the greatest thing a person can receive, then really hell is the greatest place a person can avoid. And by the way, hell's a real place. And I've mentioned it before, if I could wipe something out of the Bible, and I hope God doesn't strike me dead for saying that, if I could take something out of the Bible and I don't want to, I just don't like hell. But I'll tell you what, if we don't like hell, then the gospel ought to be even more important to us. Because gospel is the only thing that's going to help people escape hell and receive the free gift of eternal life. It's more horrible than a person can imagine. And think of it this way. Do you know hell is the default eternity for every person that's born on this earth? Yep. Say, what do you got to do to go to hell? Nothing. Yeah. When I was a new Christian, I was walking, we were out soul winning, and I walked by, and a guy was there working on something in his garage. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I talked to him for a second. I said, hey, can I share with you how you can know for sure when you die you go to heaven? And he said, no. He goes, I want to go to hell. I want to shovel the coal. Now, I thought of it later. I should have said, well, you know what? I can share for you how you can know for sure when you die you go to hell. I should have said that. And I would have said, whatever you do, do not trust Jesus Christ. Because you're a sinner, and I could have went through the whole thing with them, but I didn't think of that. That would have been a creative way, at least, to get the gospel to them. Yeah. And but a person like that, they just don't understand that it's a reality. Right. It's a horrible place. God's plan for reaching this world involves using Christians to personally share the good news. God could have chose all kinds of things. He could have went into the advertising business, and I'm not against using every type of promotional tool we can to get the name of the church and the gospel out so people can hear it. Right. But you know what God chose to get the gospel to another person? He chose Christians. That is God's ordained method to get the gospel out. It's not somebody flying through the skies, you know, sharing the gospel. That's going to happen one time. That's going to happen in the tribulation when the Christians are gone. But God wants us here now to share the gospel one person at a time. And as we will see, God has given us all the tools necessary that we need to be able to get the job done. We just need to be willing. Now, we'll look at the section at what the Bible says about soul winning. What the Bible says. Salvation is the greatest gift you have ever received if you're a believer. But it is not a gift that is exclusive. Thank God for that. God doesn't care your nationality. God doesn't care your social status. God doesn't care about any of that. It's not exclusive. It's a gift that anybody can have, and we'll look at that in a minute. Just as someone took the time to explain the gospel to you, God wants you to explain the gospel to others. If you're saved, somebody told you the good news. Yep. I was listening to a testimony, and I hope he was saved, of Pete Maravich. How many of you have ever heard of Pete Maravich? Pete Maravich was a basketball player. In the late 60s and in the early 70s, he played the style of, actually, I think the early 70s, he played the style of basketball they play now back when they didn't play it. Great player. Saw him play. But I heard his testimony. He played 10 years in the NBA. He had a bunch of injuries, and then he got into drugs. I remember hearing a tape of his testimony. And his testimony was he was having a bad night, and he woke up in the night, and God spoke to him, and that's how he got saved. Now, that's not how it works. Now, maybe somebody had already witnessed to him. I understand that. But God doesn't use angels to witness to people. By the way, it'd probably be more effective. I don't know. God uses people. God wants us to share the good news. And by the way, it's not just a responsibility or an obligation. It's a blessing. God allows us to tell others about the greatest thing they can ever hear. That is incredible. But what the Bible says about soul winning, just a couple key thoughts. We'll go through these pretty quick. It is why Jesus came to this earth. That was the whole reason that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in the first place. He came with a purpose. His purpose was to come to this earth, God taking human form and dying on the cross for our sins. We can get doctrinal. That's why he was born of a virgin, all these different things. But he came for the purpose to take your sins and my sins upon himself and be crucified on the cross. That was his whole purpose in life. To pay the price for our sins so that mankind could be saved. Very simple verse. The Son of Man, Luke 19:10, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was born on Christmas. Okay. He was born to die. I like that song we sing at Christmas time. Born to die upon Calvary. He had a purpose. His whole life was wrapped up. I know he did a lot of things and he teaches how to, the word made flesh. I get all that. But he was here primarily to die for our sins. So that we could be saved. And now that he saved, now that he saved us, we can share it with others. Next, it is part of successfully following Christ. It's part of following Christ successfully. Jesus promised that if we followed him, he will make us fishers of men. Doesn't that make sense? If his purpose was to come for the salvation of the lost, and we follow him, by following him, we are going to follow his purpose. And his purpose will become our purpose, and we will be involved in the thing for which he came to this earth. You cannot follow Jesus Christ and not be a part of that. You can't compartmentalize Christianity. The greatest thing, look, there is no reason to leave us on this earth if we're not going to be soul winners. He wants us to reach this world. Let me just ask you a question, and we may have a hard time believing this. Where would it be better to live, heaven or earth? Heaven, by far. So why are we here? God has a plan for us. Now, I get it. We have responsibilities in our marriages and our families, but all of that is predicated upon keeping everything strong, reaching the next generation, so we get the gospel to this world. That's what it's all about. He wants us to be a part of what his purpose. Here we go. If we are not catching men with the gospel, then we are not truly following Christ. Okay? I'm sorry. We don't have that cafeteria style. Go through. Yeah, I want the green beans, but I don't like the Brussels sprouts. Sorry. It all is encapsulated. He wants us to spread the gospel. People love that term. It's funny how we always have to have a new term for everything. You know, people aren't lost, they're seekers. Well, how do you know they're seeking? Doesn't the Bible say there's none that seeketh? Okay? They got to be drawn by the truth of the gospel and the conviction of their sin. But, you know, they don't like the term Christian. We're Christ followers. Hey, that's great, but let's just make sure of one thing. If you're going to call yourself a Christ follower, you had better follow Christ. The shame is most people that use that term have no idea what it means to follow Christ. But we are not Christ followers, I know this for a fact, if we are not following his example or we're fulfilling his will on this earth. We're not a Christ follower. I don't care how many bumper stickers you have. I don't care how many Jesus hats and shirts you have. I don't care how many times you go to church. If you're not in love with reaching the lost, if you don't have a concern for the lost, there is something wrong. Okay? And I get it. Sometimes we come to Christianity, and I came with a whole lot of issues. And I say, well, you still have those issues. Pray for me. But I had, you know, issues and problems that needed to be dealt with in my life. And God started dealing with those in my life. But as he was dealing with me, I started to get, now, God, why are you changing my life? What did you want to accomplish in my life? Well, one of the things is he wants to get the gospel out. He wants us to share it with people. So if we are following Christ, then we will do what he did, and we will do what he wants. So, putting that all together, a person who truly follows Jesus will be active in winning souls to Christ. Matthew 4:19, there's the verse, we know it well, and he said unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So what are the steps? It's very simple. We follow, he makes. As we follow him, he develops us to the point where we'll be effective in sharing the gospel. And sharing the gospel. We progress. To the same degree that you are a soul winner, think about this if that verse is true, to the same degree you are a soul winner really is to the same degree that you are following Christ. That's convicting for all of us, not just you, for me. And so we need to make sure we're doing that. Salvation, next, is something God wants everyone to experience. Now, I'm going to spend a little time on this. I mentioned it in passing, but I'm going to explain it to you. God has not determined that some people will automatically trust Christ and that some people will automatically never trust Christ and go to hell. It's not. It's choice. Choice is called free will. There is a doctrine that many of our younger brethren are falling into to some degree, Calvinism. And by the way, if you just want to figure out Calvinism, you might want to study the life of John Calvin. I have. He was not a good guy. Very, very brutal with people. It was not good. And he came up with this doctrine they call Calvinism. I'm going to explain it to you. There's an acronym used to describe what Calvinism is. By the way, Calvinism destroys soul winning. It's a way to ease your conscience out of the fact that we've got to be a witness. So the acronym is TULIP. How many of you have ever heard of that? That's a five-point Calvinist, okay? I'm going to tell you what they are. Each letter, if you know what an acronym is, each letter stands for something. Like, you know, Baptist stands for something, Bible Authority, and so forth. T stands for total depravity. Total depravity. This is the belief that sinlessness stains man in every aspect. Now, we understand man is sinful, right?
Yep.
But they take it a step further. In other words, they say we are so totally sinful, we are so totally depraved, we cannot independently choose Christ and salvation. In other words, we're so sinful, and man is just so corrupt, even if we want to, we could not choose Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our sinful nature keeps us from that. Our depravity keeps us from independently choosing Christ for salvation. In other words, we are incapable of choosing Christ. They insist that God must do all the work. And by work, I'm not talking about works. From choosing those who will be saved to sanctifying them throughout their lives. In other words, if you get saved, God chose you because you're so morally or sinfully corrupt, you can't even choose Christ. God's got to choose you. Now, the other ones will explain that even deeper. So if that's their belief, the letter U, how many of you understand what I'm saying with that? Okay? If that makes sense, then the letter U makes sense also. U stands for unconditional election. Those who God has chosen to be saved, they call the elect. Okay? And so unconditional election says that God chooses those who are saved because they are dead in their sins and incapable of initiating a response to God. God initiated everything, and God actually does it all. You don't even choose. Since some are chosen for salvation, others are not. And if, so there it is. So how do I determine that if I go to heaven or hell? Well, you trust Christ, right? But how do I determine whether or not I trust Christ? If God chose you to get saved, you're going to get saved. And if God did not choose you to get saved, you're never going to get saved. That's the belief. Which leads to L, which is heresy. I mean, it's all bad, but this is really rank heresy. So, total depravity, unconditional election, God's chose you. L stands for limited atonement. Limited atonement basically is this. Jesus only died for those whom God chose to be saved. He did not die for the world. Okay. I have a couple problems with that. Yeah, for God so loved the world. I had a guy in my office a while ago. Says, someday I might want to go start a church. Would you send me out because I believe God hates people? And I looked at him, I said, no, never, absolutely not, never going to happen. I'm like, I would believe that too if it wasn't for that one obscure verse in the middle of nowhere. John 3:16. Okay, it's common sense. God loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believeth in him. Jesus died for everybody. Well, if he died for everybody, how come everybody's not saved? It's called free will. It's called you have to choose. It's called whosoever will. You have to want to. Limited atonement. It gets a little nuttier. I stands for irresistible grace. Irresistible grace is the belief that God brings his elect, the chosen to salvation, he brings them to him through an eternal call, which they are powerless to resist. Now think about that. Gary, I know he didn't, but if God chose you for salvation, what that means is God's grace is going to save you whether you want to be saved or not. You're powerless to resist it. You don't have to choose. It's going to come to you. I have a word for that. Nonsense? You know, the words come into mind. Foolishness? Why would God tell us to take the gospel of the world? It wouldn't matter. Brother Tongdi, you're wasting your life. Now you are, but not that. Let's call the team back from Phnom Penh, but they're stuck probably because of COVID. Why? Hudson Taylor, Carey, all these other missionaries that literally went at a time when it was almost a death sentence to go to some places because of the way diseases were and the technology we didn't have. They wasted their lives. They took their lives to heathen people in foreign countries, were ravaged by diseases for people that were going to get saved regardless of whether or not they ever went there. I think there's some issues with their teaching in the Bible. Now, the only one of the tulip, I kind of believe, now maybe not to the extent, is the preservation for the saints, which teaches that the elect cannot lose their salvation. Now, there might be other, they may take it to a ridiculous extreme or whatever, but I'm in on that. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Because you trusted Christ, and he's going, and your sins are forgiven forever. But the problem is, there's a lot of people, well, we're Reformed. This creeps into Reformed churches. And by the way, if I really believe that, there is no reason for us to ever print another tract. There's no reason for us to have Saturday faithfulness rally, maybe to visit people in our classes. There's no reason to ever have soul winning. When we have our Reaching Unashamedly training in October on Tuesday nights, there's no need to come to that. It's a waste of time. There's no reason for you to talk to your co-workers whose lives are a wreck and really need Jesus Christ, because after all, if they're saved, they're going to get saved anyway. And this nonsense, like, well, why do you still go why do you still talk to people sometimes if you believe that? Well, I just want to be a part of what God's doing, not me. If they're already going to get saved, does it matter if I'm involved? But guess what? That's nonsense. God, back to reality here, God has given each of us a free will. We can either choose to receive Christ or we can reject him. You have to understand that. When you talk to somebody, you give them the good news and they have to make a decision. And the decision is theirs. Now, we can't make it for them, right? We'll talk about that later, but someone's got to tell them. They can, look, remember, I saw a documentary back during COVID. I had a history thing, and I saw a documentary on Mount St. Helens. And there was this old, you know, I hate gum and all that stuff and sprinkled dust in here. But, you know, one of these stay off my lawn type of guys living by Mount St. Helens. And they went to his and said, this thing's going to blow. You better get out of there. No, I'm not leaving. Well, he eventually left in ashes. But that was his choice. They warned him. They gave him all the details. They told him what was coming, and he refused to listen. His choice. And he died. But he was warned. You ever read Ezekiel? It talks about the watchman on the wall. Hey, watchman, it's your responsibility to tell people bad things are coming. If you tell them and they don't listen and bad things happen, their blood is on their own hands. But if you don't tell them, in a sense, your blood's on their hands. And so it's they have to make the decision. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. It's pretty simple. Do you believe and have the Son? You have eternal life. If you refuse to believe and you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life, but it's your choice. God's desire now, tying it all up, is that man would receive his free gift. This is where Calvinism gets it wrong. God wants people to receive his free gift. Now, I understand, you know, straighten the way, narrow and all that. Not everybody's going to do it. And it's a minority of people that are going to trust Christ. But you know what? God wants people to trust Christ. That's why Jesus came to this earth. He loved the people of this earth. The same ones who spit in his face, the same ones who rejected his laws and did their own thing and lived sinful lifestyles. He loved them and came to this earth to die for them, to give them that opportunity. That is why we must be diligent. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but here it is. But is long suffering to usward. How many of you, is there anybody here, you got saved the very first time you ever heard the gospel? Okay, a couple of you. I never did. But you know what? There were several times the gospel was shared with me. And I lived under conviction because I knew it was true. And I thought about it. I knew I was going to hell. And I was just, I want to wait. But I knew. I'm thankful God gave me several chances. And I eventually trusted Christ. He's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish. He's talking about in an eternal sense. Well, you know, God didn't die for everybody. It's only when he wants everybody to get saved. Amen. And no one will ever stand before God and say, you didn't choose me. You made it impossible for me. Now, in a sense, would that be just? Would it be just if God said, I'm choosing Gary, but I'm not choosing Kevin? They're both sinners. They're both, you know, imperfect. Why would God choose one over another? God is just, and he gives everybody a chance. That's why it's our responsibility to make sure we get the gospel out. If Calvinism were true, as I mentioned, we should never take the gospel to anybody because they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved. Next, we'll stop after this one. And this is, here we go. And if I can't convince you with anything else, and I'm not trying to convince you, I'll just teach you the Bible and I hope that you accept it. But if for no other reason, here's why you should do it. It's commanded by God for all Christians. Say, do I ever go soul winning when I don't feel like it? Yes. When? On Tuesday nights. Okay. I'd rather be home. Just rather be home sometimes. Not that I don't want to go soul winning. Not that I don't want to see people get saved. Sometimes you're just tired, right? It's easy when you're home to say, you know, whatever. But you know why I go? I know why you go, because you'd set a bad example if you're the pastor and you didn't show up. That's true. But I don't go because I'm a pastor. I started going soul winning a few months into my living for the Lord because it's the thing I was supposed to do. When I saw that it was commanded, I'm like, I'm in. I'll do it. This is what God wants. I can learn. I can get better at it. But it's God's command. Remember that we are just messengers. We are not responsible for the message. He's given us the message. We don't change it. We don't take away from it. We don't water it down. We don't soup it up. We take the message. We're not responsible. We're just responsible to give the message. By the way, let me just say this. If you go out soul winning, you knock on doors for an hour, and no one gets saved, you did not waste your time. Do you talk to? I remember with the summer saturation. I went out first door. 19, 20 year old talked to him for a while, got saved. And I thought, this is a good night. I went to the next door, about a 17 year old. The kid listened, and it was great. He, yes, sir, okay, And after explaining and talking to him, and you understand all that, you want to get saved? No. I'm like, well, why? You understood all. And he would not get saved. And I walked away, and I was like depressed. You know how it is when you talk to somebody like, oh, this person's on. They understand it. God's been working on them. We're ready to go. And then, no. No. I was depressed. But you know what? I did my job. By the way, there were several soul winners that gave me the gospel before I got saved. Yeah. They probably walked away and say, knucklehead kid, he didn't listen. But you know what? I was listening. And later on, I got saved. And by the way, whether or not I would have got saved, they did their job. Yeah. They did their job. It's our job to give the gospel. Amen. It's a command of God. It's our responsibility. Matthew chapter 28. We know it so well. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. By the way, I think in the Great Commission, discipleship is encapsulated in that. We're supposed to help those that get saved if they'll let us be a part of their life. But it's a command. It's like anything. All of us have emotions, all of us have feelings, and sometimes, you know, sometimes reading your Bible, it's like spot on, right? You read something like, I needed that today. That was good. Other times you read it, it's like, did I get anything yet? Now, I'll stop and I'll make myself get something. But sometimes you read it, and it's just not like that one day. Well, God knew what you needed that one day. But you know what? Whether or not I feel tingly, I'm going to do it because God said to do it. You know, you say, by the way, I love coming to church, and this doesn't happen as often, very often, but, you know, sometimes you wake up and you're tired, and it's like, man, if I could, I'd rather tap out and just rest. But you know why I come? Well, first of all, it's like, you know, no one else is ready to preach. But you know why I come? Even if I don't want to, which I'm going overboard because I always want to come. I'm just tired. I'd rather not. Because God commanded me to. That'll keep me in line right there. You know why I give? I love giving. Been doing it since brand new Christian. But even if I didn't, I'm going to do it because God said to do it. Yeah. And on Tuesday night or whenever, and we're all guilty, maybe God brings someone where you can talk to and you can almost justify not doing it. Ah, they won't listen. Waste my time. I got to do this. But you know why you do it? By the way, we do it sometimes with a bad attitude. I remember several years ago, I had a car and something was wrong with the battery. I needed to replace the battery, and I waited too long. I'm out on Saturday, and I don't know what's wrong with it, but if I turned the car off and I came back within 5 minutes, it would start. If I was after 5 minutes, I had to get help to get it started. And so I'm visiting, and I mean, I'm going, hey, I know, I'm going to go, see you at church tomorrow. It's going to be great. All right, later. I went to this house, and the lady wasn't there, but her older son was there. I'm like, hey, how you doing? We're doing good. Okay, hey, got to go. Tell your mom I came by. Hey, you got to come visit church. Here's an invitation. He said, yeah, speaking of that, he goes, I've been going to this one, I think it's a Catholic thing, and I'm looking at this book they gave me. And I'm like, hey, that's great. We'll talk about it later. And I'm thinking, you know, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, and I'm walking. And like, he did everything. He did everything but say, what must I do to be saved? And he opened it up to something, and it said something about Jesus, and it's like, come on, witness to the guy already. And I'm like, give me that book. I'm like, let's look through what they're teaching you. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. It doesn't really say much about heaven here, does it? He goes, you know, it doesn't. I said, but you know what the Bible does? And we sat there for a while, and I witnessed to him, and he got saved. And you know how I felt? As soon as he was done and we said goodbye, I'm like, my car's not going to start. Like, you know, I'd be embarrassed to go back there and say, bro, can you give me a jump? But thankfully, the Lord gave me some grace and the dumb car started. But you know, sometimes God almost has to push us, right? Yeah. It's like, and people, I felt bad. The kid did everything but just fall on the ground and say, hey, can I get a Damascus Road moment here? Yeah. But you know, it's a command. And sometimes we just got to say, you know what? If I don't feel like it, this is what God wants. And you know what you find? And I'm done. You know what you find when you do something because it's a command and you're not feeling it? Once you get started, it's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Isn't that just that start to say, hey, let's go. Let's do this. And we'll stop right there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for tonight. And thank you for the gospel. It's such a wonderful, wonderful, life-altering and eternity-changing thing. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us. Help us to get a heart for souls. Help us to see those we come in contact with, family members, maybe some old friends, as those who need Jesus Christ. Don't let the things of life push that out from us, but help us to keep that passion. Be with us now until we meet together Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.